Okay. Yeah, so I'm going to talk about effort that I took part in recently to go into my daughter's school and teach computing. I'll tell you a bit about why I did it and what happened when I did it and what you could do to do it better if you decide to do the same thing, which I think you really should. First of all, a little bit about me. I'm a software developer, not a teacher, which should give you a clue as to how this went. Currently specializing in iOS development, but I've done all kinds of software development in the past. And I started coding in the 1980s, which I always considered to be like the golden age of geek. Well, why was 1980s the golden age of geek? Well, it was because of this guy and a couple of other similar machines. So when you bought a computer in the 1980s, it was a ZX Spectrum or a BBC Micro. And you got home, you opened the box, you had the computer, a power brick, a cable to connect it to your telly, and a programming manual. And on the ZX Spectrum, you even had the programming keywords there written on the keys. It was first and foremost a programming device. There was no kind of IDE to download. There was no text editor you had to install. You plugged the thing into your TV, you turned it on, and you were coding. You were at a coding interface, and running your code was a native operation, like doing a directory listing is today. And so, I was very, very privileged to be part of the 1980s teen geek scene. And, we were all teaching ourselves. We were buying magazines and going home, typing listings in from magazines and running programs, creating games and all this kind of stuff. But of course, none of this was happening at school. It was all happening in bedrooms across the country. And I always figured that, surely by the time my children grew up, things would have changed. In fact, I had sort of my three favorite predictions when I was 15 years old was that in future we'd have computers you could hold in your hand. We'd have TVs that you could hang on the wall like a picture frame, and we'd be teaching computer languages in school instead of, things like Latin. So if you fast forward 25 years, well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. We've got the handheld computers, we've got the razor thin TVs, but we still don't have computer programming routinely taught in schools. We do have GCSE ICT though. So that kind of made me wonder, well, what's ICT GCSE if it's not computer programming? So I went and dug out a test paper from 2011, and it made for fairly depressing reading. I've brought a few sample questions for you all to enjoy. So this is the first one. Which one of the following is the most important feature to be considered when designing a new user interface? Is it A, availability of a help facility? B, the yearly pay of the people who will be using the system? And we all know we don't care about them. C, the age of the people who will be using the system? Or D, the age of the people designing the system? I mean, I design new user interfaces every day, and I have no idea what the answer is to this question. There's more. This is a genuine question from a GCSE ICT paper. For those of you who can't see it at the back, I'll read it out. Which one of the following is a well-known social networking website? Is it A, ebook? B, face-to-face? C, Facebook? Or D, netbook? Calls made after the competition closes won't be... You can picture the committee of sort of suede elbow patched baldies who sat around thinking this one up, And I only wonder how many 16-year-olds would turn the paper, look at this question, and think it's got to be a trick. I mean, it must be netbook, right? Those are 1-mark questions. Here's a 5-mark question. The rock band Purple Spiders has a large fan club run by the band's manager. A database is used to store details of the members of the fan club. Discuss the implications of the responsibilities placed on the band's manager by the Data Protection Act. Five marks, rock and roll. So looking at questions like these, you might start asking yourself, I wonder quite how inspiring the youth of today find GCSE ICT. And the answer is, not actually very inspiring at all. In 2010, we had 750,000 people sitting maths GCSE, over 250,000 doing design and tech. We had even more people doing media studies than were doing ICT. And the image that this presents to the rest of the world is not a rosy one either. There's a quote from Eric Schmidt, the chair of Google, who spoke in the UK last year and expressed astonishment that we had gone from, you know, the crucible of computing, the country that spawned Alan Turing and the ZX Spectrum, to a country that thought that teaching ICT was all about using Excel and PowerPoint. But at the same time, you only need to look around you. There's all these really cool, geeky things for young people to get involved in. There's Young Rewired State, Codojo, and a bunch of others. So there's obviously an appetite out there for an education in the true sort of geeky arts, but we're just not delivering it in school. And when I came to realize this, I was so sort of disappointed that the only thing I could think of doing was putting myself up to try and redress the balance. So I wrote to my daughter's school and I explained to them, you know, I'm a software developer, I'm not a teacher, I don't know how to teach, but how hard can it be? why don't you let me pop in and give that teaching thing a go? And they replied, reading between the lines, I think they kind of said, yeah, go on. So they were very supportive. They got together a group of students. They sent emails out to all the parents, and they got a group of students who were interested in coming along and learning a bit of computer programming. We ended up 10 to 15 students, quite a wide age range, 14 to 18, which you know, at that age is kind of a significant range. They'd all chosen to be there, so that was great. You know, they all wanted to be there. It was sort of, you know, there was nobody being strong-armed to attend. So the next thing I had to figure out was what language I'm going to teach them in. You know, as I mentioned earlier, I do iOS development now, so most of my code is written in C and Objective-C, and those are kind of fairly thorny languages to use as a first language. I figured I wanted a scripting language, something that was, you know, didn't have variable types and all the cruft that you get with languages like C or Java. I use Python quite a lot, but I figured Python wasn't the ideal choice either, because that whole thing of using white space for indentation, it's just too easy to make a mistake that you can't spot. So I ended up choosing Lua. So Lua is a simple scripting language. It's quite similar to JavaScript. It's pretty easy to learn. There are free interpreters available for all the you know, major operating systems. So whatever the kids had at home, they could download this for free and tinker between lessons. And it's a popular language for games development. Angry Birds and World of Warcraft and a bunch of other stuff uses Lua as its top-level scripting language. So I figured that was a good hook. You know, we could do Visual Basic and they could all write their own Excel macro, but you know, I thought giving them the tantalizing possibility that they might write the next Angry Birds would get them a bit more interested. So I wrote some course material, and I went over it and over it and over it, and I kept stripping stuff out till it was as simple as possible, and really just introduced them to the key concepts, variables, for loops, if statements, that kind of stuff. Then I discovered that there's a page on the Lua website that has a web-based Lua interpreter. At this point, I wasn't sure what computers were available at the school when I went in. But I knew that anything with a web connection would be able to get onto this website, even if it was an iPad or a, you know, something like that. They could go onto this website, type code, and run it. So that was that. So that the grand plan, five simple steps. They'd master Lua. It was so easy. I figured that was the first 10 minutes. We'd We'd move on to Corona, which is a really cool 2D gaming engine that uses Lua as its scripting language. And you really can write Angry Birds in half an hour in Corona. So that was the first 40 minutes. submit to the App Store, that'd be the next week and a half. And then we'd all become billionaires. I would get, you know, some evil 60% cut deal going. And we'd all be home in time for tea. What's not to like? Right, it was brilliant. So turned up at school with all my slides. I was going to be a teacher now. It was all cool. And they absolutely hated it. It was a disaster. And after a couple of weeks, you could see them losing the will to live when they turned up at the class. And when I started to sort of try and figure out why they were not engaging with this quite to the, you know, the extent that I'd expected, it really boiled down to this. Most people find computer programming language syntax really obtuse and difficult to understand. And I actually hadn't realized that. I actually thought, you know, like, this is easy. Everyone I know does it, because, like, I know all you lot. And most people find it really hard. It reminded me of when I was learning French at school. And I was really enthusiastic about learning a new language and being able to go to France and order stuff in French and all this. And then after a few weeks of grammar that I couldn't quite get my head around, and, you know, the fact that a table was feminine or masculine or whatever, and it didn't make any sense, and I just gave up. And I was seeing exactly the same look on these kids' eyes. So I realized that I had to change something fairly quickly. So I spoke to the teachers who were helping me out, and they said, you know, look, I think they want something more graphical. They want to be able to see something moving around the screen in response to the code they've written. They want to be able to explore and sort of figure some of the things out without having to sit in front of a load of slides and learn it. And they want to be able, you know, we'd done sort of 2 or 3 weeks of Lua, and we still hadn't got to the point where they could write a self-standing program. They could write these little snippets of code and run them, but they really want to be able to write something that they could run on its own. And so we switched from Lua to using Scratch. So Scratch is this programming language developed by MIT. It's a graphical drag and drop programming environment, but it still has all the same constructs that a regular programming language has. You still got conditionals and loops and variables and all that kind of stuff. But it looks like Lego. You kind of drag stuff and it slots onto other stuff, and you can't make syntax errors. It's great. So for those of you who haven't seen it, here's this is a quick demo of Scratch in action. So you see, you start by dragging these little Lego bricks across, and they've got those knobbly bits, so they kind of sit, they fit in with each other, and you can't go wrong, really. And once you've dragged a few of those together, you run your code by hitting that green flag, and that happens. So that's what we ended up using. And the session structure that I adopted then for the rest of this course was to do a sort of a 10-minute bit at the start where I would show them, like, here's one I prepared earlier. Something, you know, a platform game or a musical keyboard or whatever. And I'd demo a core technique that I'd used to develop that program. And then they'd all go back and they'd just sit at their own computers and program for the rest of the session. And I was on hand to help them if they needed it, which they did. And, but they were mostly self-driven. Some of those core techniques that we kind of covered each week. So 1 week we talked about using variables to maintain state in a game, like high score and number of lives, making a sprite jump and fall back down under gravity, making simple UI widgets, all kinds of different stuff. And hurrah, they loved it. It went really well. Apart from this guy over here, you probably can't read from there, he's written a game called Crazy Crack Cocaine Cat. Which, and I swear I'm not making this up, that was the same week that I was told that inspectors were coming round. So the first course, it was 6 weeks in all, 3 weeks of Lua, they hated that, 3 weeks of Scratch, they loved it. They asked me back for further punishment, and so we did a 9-week course all in Scratch. And then the last couple of weeks, we moved on to Code Academy, which is an online JavaScript tutorial system. Very, very cool, much more engaging and interesting than my Lua slides were. And that went very well as well. In fact, it was interesting that after a few weeks of Scratch, they were much better at writing text programming languages like JavaScript. They didn't make the same number of syntax errors that they had done when they went straight into a text-based language. And finally, just some lessons learned from this foolhardy enterprise. First and foremost, make it fun. If you're going to do this, and you really should do this, I mean, it's a great opportunity to sort of go and you know, give something back. But make it fun. It doesn't have to be really tough. It's not like a university course. They can just enjoy themselves and learn a little bit around the edges. Start slowly and assume nothing. I kind of figured probably half of these kids would have at least written some JavaScript before, or... Did you not? Well, none of them had. And provide extension tasks. So the age range here, it's like 14 to 18. So the older kids would generally get through stuff in about half the time of the younger ones. So as well as a kind of task for them to do that week, add some additional stuff that they can go on and do if they finish early to stop them getting bored. And consider doing it lunchtimes or Saturday mornings, because by the end of a school day, I was finding that a lot of them were, you know, just tired and their minds were on other things. Don't use iPads because they correct your spelling in all kinds of interesting ways that are great if you're writing prose and really problematic if you're writing code, so don't do that. Don't use slides because they're kind of boring. They're what stiffs like us do in the evening. That's not what kids do. And don't make it too hard. You know, it's school and they're supposed to have fun. And that is it. Thank you very much.